Does the necklace belong to your mate? He asked instead. Locke shook his head. I grabbed it off the nymph as she darted into the portal. She was gone, but I managed to keep a hold of the necklace. Styx leaned forward, studying the glowing object. It looks like it has a charm. That was Locke's thought as well. The chain was made of gold, but the amulet hanging from it was carved out of bronze in the shape of a tree. It reminded him of something a dryad would possess.
I had an imp place a tracing spell on it, he told his companion.
Styx made a sound of surprise.
That must have been pricey.
Locke cringed.
You have no idea.
The truth was that he'd handed over the majority of his treasure that he'd managed to accumulate over the long centuries to purchase the spell. Imps were notorious for gouging their customers, and not even the threat of ripping out the bastard's heart had made him lower his price. Styx's attention returned to the necklace.
So why not use it to find her? She must have been buried behind a magical barrier that prevented the spell from locating her, he said.
He'd been infuriated when he'd realized that he'd spent a fortune on magic that was completely useless, as long as his prey remained hidden. A hard smile curved his lips.
Until now. Do you intend to go after her?
Locke grabbed the necklace. It felt warm against his palm, indicating the spell was working. According to the imp who created the magic, the metal would grow even warmer the closer he got to his victim.
She's not going to slip away again, he growled.
Styx squared his shoulders.
I'll go with you.
Locke sent him a startled glance.
Bullshit. You shouldn't be alone. I've been alone a long time, Styx, he said dryly. I don't need a babysitter. This could be a trap.
Locke scowled.
If it's a trap, then why wait a century to spring it? What's time to an immortal?
Styx countered.
I'll send one of the ravens with you.
No.
Locke held up a hand as the Anasso put on his obstinate as a rabid mule face.
This is personal, Styx. The nymph killed my mate. I need to deal with her in my own way, on my own terms. You need someone watching your back,
Styx insisted. Locke glared at his companion.
I didn't know you cared. I've always cared, Locke.
Styx held his gaze.
I let you slip away once. I'm not going to let it happen again.
Locke didn't have a snappy comeback. As much as he hated to admit it, he'd missed being a part of the Ravens. The laughter, the danger, the excitement. Even the occasional spats that had always ended up with a night of revelry when they'd called a truce. There'd been a sense of brotherhood that had taught him the meaning of loyalty and trust and family. Something that had been sadly missing during the first centuries of his life. Once again, he reached up to touch the scar on his neck.
I'll be back,
he promised.
Famous last words.
Styx studied him for a long moment, then, seeming to accept that he'd done all he could to keep Locke from hurtling headfirst into an ambush, the older vampire turned to stroll toward the opening.
Don't forget, when you're done with the nymph, you're going to spend some time at my lair in Chicago.